Pursuing employment, independence, and equality for all blind and visually impaired Californians. Today, we have with us from the Department of California Department of Rehabilitation, Elena Gomez, Assistant Deputy Director, Specialized Services Division. Please give her a warm welcome for being here today. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Is it on? Yes, wonderful. Okay. I've never had that much luck with microphones. I just wanted to say how honored I am to be here today. This is my second time attending a CCB convention. The first one was Sacramento, and today San Diego, and with the classroom set up, no less. Thank you, Donna. Okay, before I begin, I just kind of want to take the opportunity to acknowledge and thank President Donna Pomeranz and the CCB leadership for our continued partnership in advancing employment and independence for blind and visually impaired Californians. And also for having us here to be part of the program, to share some information about the Department of Rehabilitation, and also to have an opportunity to hear from you as well. We're going to have some time at the end of the presentation from some questions and answers. Now, Director Tony Sauer and Deputy Director Joe Xavier cannot be here today. However, they extend their very best wishes for a most successful convention, and they also wanted to express their true appreciation for the work of CCB. And I also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge and thank any members of the DOR staff that may be in the audience for all the work that you do each and every single day. Thank you. Okay. Now, the purpose of the presentation is to kind of give you an overview of what's happening on the national, state, and departmental level. And really, the intent is for us to be transparent with the community to ensure that the community is kept informed and that you are positioned to provide, you know, effective and meaningful advice. So the first thing I kind of wanted to talk about was happening on the federal or national level. I was going to start off by talking about the federal shutdown, but as of yesterday, that's over, right? Yay. But I know a number of questions came up. Well, what does this mean for the Department of Rehabilitation? Were you able to provide services? And the answer is yes, in spite of the federal shutdown, and we will continue to provide services. One thing that's happening in Congress right now, for those of you who may not be aware, is the reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act, and the Rehab Act is incorporated in that in WIA. And within that particular legislation, the reauthorization, they're proposing to move Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA, which is the federal oversight for all of the state VR programs, proposing to move it from Office of Education over to Department of Labor. And Independent Living as well, that includes the older individuals who are blind program, they're looking to move that over to Health and Human Services. And there's a concern right now within the disability community that it may mean that there's a trend to moving away from individualized vocational rehabilitation programs to more of a generic job placement assistance programs like the one-stop centers. So we're keeping a very close eye on that particular legislation, and we're informing our agency and our governor of any potential impacts to the Department of Rehabilitation and the consumers that we serve and the disability community at large. So it's a very important piece of legislation. So we will certainly keep the CCB informed if there are any significant developments. Another thing that's happening is the Affordable Care Act, and I think most of you know it as Obamacare. And within California, it's called Covered California. And right now, they just launched an education and outreach effort to enroll millions of Californians in the new health insurance options that are available. So if you have any questions about what's available right now, I would encourage you to check the website, Covered California. And we're going to be giving some information to our rehabilitation counselors out of the field so they're able to share this information with their consumers. Next item I kind of wanted to bring to your attention is federal hiring. And back in 2010, President Obama issued an executive order to all departmental agencies to increase the employment of persons with disabilities. So that is the mandate, a charge that he's given to all departmental agencies. Additionally, there's new regulations that are in the process of being passed, and we expect them to be effective this coming March. And basically, the regulations will require that all federal contractors and their subcontractors need to have at least 7% of their workforce be people with disabilities. So I would encourage all of you to consider hiring, you know, to apply for federal employment, because now is really the time, and a lot of the agencies are being, you know, charged with the task to do more outreach to our population. But last, but not certainly not least, on the federal level, I'm really truly pleased to report that Janet Lebrecht, who's the former commissioner for Massachusetts Blind, has been appointed as the new RSA commissioner effective August 1st. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but out of the four commissioners, three have been blind or visually impaired. So that is great progress for the community. So I'm very pleased to, you know, share that with you. Okay, so now I kind of want to touch on what's happening within the Department of Rehabilitation, and I can share with you that it's been full of activities in the past year. We've been working on some major initiatives in the Department of Rehab. The first is we've been celebrating all year long our 50th anniversary. We were established back on October 1st, 1963. So we just finished our celebration earlier this week. I'm proud of our accomplishments over the last 50 years, but we know there's still so much more to do in California, which kind of leads me to the next thing that I wanted to share with you, which is the DOR strategic plan. And this is something that we haven't really quite done before, but we worked with the community, with our partners, stakeholders, consumers, CCB, you know, other, you know, advocacy organizations, to develop a 5-year plan about what we want to do, you know, from 2013 to 2018. And as a result of the input we received, we came up with a vision for the department, which is kind of an abbreviated version of our mission statement. The vision is employment, independence, and equality for all Californians with disabilities. And within the strategic plan, we have three major goals. The first, which is obviously most important to us, is employment, independence, and equality. And basically, that means maximizing employment opportunities, independence, and increasing self-sufficiency, resulting in a higher quality of life for Californians with disabilities. In a nutshell, getting more competitive outcomes for our consumers. Our second goal is equal access, to promote equal access for Californians with disabilities. And essentially what that means, kind of we're asking ourselves to provide more educational resources to improve access to businesses, information, technology, transportation, and housing, to improve the integration of individuals with disabilities within their living and working communities. And the last goal within our strategic plan is customer-focused services, to to our consumers, partners, employers, and employees. So for that particular goal, we're kind of taking a look at recruiting a qualified workforce, taking a look at our processes, what we could do to improve, to increase consumer satisfaction. So, you know, I would encourage you, if you would like to have more information about a strategic plan as well as state plan, which is something that we're required to submit annually to receive funding from RSA, I would encourage all of you to visit our website at www.dor.ca.gov. I'm going to repeat it because I see some of you writing this down, okay? www.dor.ca.gov. Okay. So another major initiative that we've been working on, I think many probably heard a term, just VR mod, and it's actually Vocation Rehabilitation Modernization Initiative. And within that initiative, we have three major projects. The first one, because a lot of our counselors, as well as consumers, had concerns that that the counselors were spending too much time working with an antiquated computer system, doing case management, and not spending enough one-on-one time with, you know, quality time with their consumers. So we basically replaced that antiquated case management system with the new system called AWARE. And that's being used in about 25 other states as we speak. So it's much more user-friendly, and it's much more effective at processing casework. However, we're still making some refinements to really enhance the functionality of that particular software. The other thing that we've been working on within that VR modernization initiative is taking a look at how we provide services to consumers. Again, you know, the consumers wanted to have more, you know, one-on-one time with the counselors. The counselors saying, you know, even with the new computer system, we still have to do a lot of case management, case documentation, and that's taking time away from my consumers. So what we did is take a look, well, maybe we need to change how we deliver service to the consumers. We took a look at what the counselors are required to do. You know, there are five functions that only they can do. However, some of the other functions, such as following up with the consumers, making sure they got their transportation check, making sure they got the check for books and supplies, interview closings, calling them up to make sure the assistive technology is working, those are functions that could be done by other staff, therefore bringing up the counselors to spend more counseling time with the consumers. So we've added, for each consumer, they're going to be supported by a team of three individuals. That's the counselor, the rehabilitation counselor, but they're also going to be supported by a service coordinator who's providing case management support to the counselor, and an office technician who is also available to provide support. So if the counselor's out of the office, the consumer to certainly reach out to the service coordinator or the office technician. It gives services and support without any delay. So we're very excited about that. We spend a lot, you know, over the last several months hiring staff to create that team model to support our consumers. And most of the teams are in place right now, including Blind Field Services. And we also added another position to support our consumers, and they're called employment coordinator positions. So they're there to provide additional support in addition to the services that we get from our community rehab programs that provide job development and placement services. But the employment coordinators are there to help with resumes, interviewing skills, labor market research, so they're just an added resource. And again, the idea is to be able to provide services without delay. So we're very, very excited by this model. You know, it's going to be fully implemented by the end of this year. We're going to be going full, you know, speed next year, and we fully expect to see increased level of consumer satisfaction and more employment outcomes in the coming years. Third project under the VR modernization initiative is called the Vendor Utilization Management Project. And really, it's taking a look at two areas. services to consumers, and invoices, payments to vendors. The service to consumers, we're taking a look at to see how we could better support our community rehabilitation program, our providers, to provide services that will lead to employment outcomes for consumers. And that means taking a look at our fee structure and performance expectations for the providers. And in terms of invoices, a lot of our providers have, you know, approached us to say, you know what, it's taking too long to get paid, you know. And we represent a large, you know, percentage of their business. It's very hard for them to continue providing quality services on a month-to-month basis, and their payments are being, you know, not rendered timely. So we're taking a look at to see how we could streamline that process in order to support our providers so they, in turn, can support our consumers. Okay. So we expect a lot of changes to come out of this particular vendor utilization management project next year. Another initiative that just came to us, we were just told by the federal government that we were awarded a federal grant, the PROMISE grant, which stands for Promoting Readiness of Minors in Supplemental Security Income. And that is a federal grant that will be $10 million per year for 5 years for a total of $50 million. And the focus will be on providing services to children ages 14 and 17 who receive SSI, as well as their families. And the goal of the grant is to improve education and employment outcomes for these children, but also to help support the families to become less reliant on the SSI that their children may be receiving, and to empower the children to go out and get some work experience, you know, get training, you know, and not delay that process until they turn 18, but, you know, start earlier rather than later. Because we all know that transition to employment needs to start earlier. We can't wait till they're 17 or 18. It needs to start when they're 13 or 14. We need to get them into that mode of thinking about what they want to do in the future and what they need to do in order to become prepared and employed. So some of the services that will be provided under the PROMISE grant is going to include case management, benefits counseling, career and work experiences, and parent training and information. But we're not doing this alone, because this is a major, major project. We have partners that includes the Employment Development Department, the California Department of Education, Department of Social Services, Developmental Disability Services, and school districts across the state to help make this project a success. Okay. And the last item I wanted to touch within, you know, in terms of what's happening with the Department of Rehab overall, is, I don't know if you're aware, but there's been some changes to the Client Assistance Program, CAP. In the past, we would receive the funding from RSA, and then we would award agencies to provide CAP services. And for those of you who may not be aware, CAP services are there to assist DOR consumers who may not be satisfied with the services they're receiving or the direction that their case is going. So they would go to CAP, and CAP would advocate on their behalf. But it was kind of always, the dynamics was always kind of strange, because we get the money, we pay the providers to support our consumers who may have issues with us. So effective October 1st, that's no longer the case. RSA now gives them funding directly to Disability Rights California. They are the CAP provider. Okay, so we're no longer involved in the process. So that kind of takes away that perception of the conflict of interest, some perception that people had some concerns about. Okay. Now, I kind of wanted to touch about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. I really want to remind everyone that we really, really want to see more individuals with disabilities in state service. We need more of you. more of you. And the only way that you could be considered for state employment is if you take the examination, pass the examination, get on the list, submit an application, and be ready to do the job. And I say this because we've done a number of outreach for some of the positions that we have, and we're not seeing applications come in. For example, we had the older individuals who are blind manager position open. So we did, you know, some recruitment through CCB and other, you know, advocacy organizations. And can you tell me how many applications I received for a person who's blind or visually impaired outside of state service? How many applications did I receive? Okay, close. Just one. One? All right. Not good enough. But because of the civil, you know, service system, unless we receive an application, there's nothing that we can do. So you have to apply if you're interested in state employment. So apply. So I just kind of wanted to share with you some of the exams that are open. They're online that you could take at any time, you know, of the day or evening, whatever, you know, works best with your schedule. And these examinations are the staff services analyst, the associate governmental program analyst, the qualified rehabilitation professional, that's the counselor position, staff services manager one and two. It really is online. We've tested them for accessibility. And all it does is ask you questions about your education and experience. So it's not an actual exam where they're testing your writing skills, your math skills, your knowledge of U.S. history, or what have you. It's just ask questions about your education experience. Do you have 5 years of experience in this area? Yes or no? Do you have 10 years? Yes or no? Very straightforward. So I would encourage you to take a look and apply for those exams. And there's also a special examination and hiring process for federal and state jobs. For the federal, it's Schedule A. And for state jobs, there's some, you know, classifications where there's examinations specifically designed for individuals with disabilities. They're called limited examination and appointment program examinations. And again, they're online. So I would encourage you to check our website and look for the employment tab page. Okay, click on that and it will give you information. Okay, and before I kind of go on to specialized services division updates, I'm going to go over the budget. I think this was something that CCB had requested, but it's a little dry, but I'll just kind of recite some numbers here. So bear with me. Oh, and we just have Peter Dawson, our Blind Field Services District Administrator, walk in. Come on over here, Peter. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of the DOR budget, our total budget right now is $413.3 million. And if you were to break that down, the general fund portion is $56.5 million. That's what we get from the state of California. And that draws down the federal match, which is $345.7 million. And then we have other supplemental funds of $11 million, which includes some of the reimbursement that we get from Social Security, Vending Stamp Fund, and the Traumatic Brain Injury Fund. The total number of positions that we currently have is 1,823. And out of that, 1,731 are permanent positions. And the remaining 92 are just temporary help positions. We used to have more positions, but due to budget cutbacks, you know, it's just kind of been whittling away. But I think for the last 2 years, we pretty much maintained the same level of positions. Consumer case services budget right now totals $181.4 million. No change from last year. And I know some folks had questions about the federal sequestration. what's happening with that. And the most recent estimate that we have from RSA, it does not include any kind of sequestration reduction for federal fiscal year 2013-2014 for all of our federal grants, including the older individuals who are blind grant. So what does this budget mean in a nutshell? Basically, it's business back to normal. We're serving all categories, and there are no more furloughs for staff. So we're working 40 hours a week, right, Peter?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Minimum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now I would like to kind of give you an overview of what's happening within the Specialized Services Division. And I think most of you are aware that it covers five programs. We provide leadership to five programs. That includes the Business Enterprise Program, Blind Field Services, Orientation Center for the Blind, Older Individuals Who Are Blind, and Deaf or Hard of Hearing Services Section. And all of the program managers, program administrators report directly to the Specialized Services Deputy Director, Joe Xavier. And as a result of the legislation that was passed in 2002, which established the Specialized Services Division, we're required to submit a report to the legislature every 2 years on division activities and the number of employment outcomes for blind and visually impaired consumers. We just submitted our fifth report to the legislature, and it's also posted on our website. So I would encourage all of you, if you have, you know, some time, to take a look at that report. There's a lot of good information in there. Okay, so I'm kind of wanting to go on, talk about the Business Enterprise Program. Yes, Joni is very excited. All right, to hear about it.
If I might, we want to give at least 20 minutes for the town hall portion of the program. And if we don't use up the 20 minutes, then we definitely would also wish to welcome any other comments that you wish to share. So I'm just letting you know if we could have 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. And how much time do I currently have right now?
Okay, currently.
I think we started a bit late.
Actually, I started you right on time. we have, you will be able to go until 2:40.
Okay, so I have 2:15 right now, and I think we'll be concluding our part of the presentation in about 5 minutes, and then open it up for questions and answers. Okay. The Business Enterprise Program, just wanted to mention that last January, RSA did an on-site monitoring of the BEP, and we're waiting to receive the report. But we were advised verbally that there were no findings, just recommendations and observations. So certainly when we get the report, we will share that information with the BEP vendors and the community. And in terms of what's happening in BEP, we're looking to implement a new software system. It's called BEP Aware, and it's going to help us become more efficient and help us consolidate all of the information into one repository. And in terms of training, the BEP training, we're taking a look at some web-based training so we can reduce the amount of time that the students would have to be in Sacramento. It's currently 6 months. We want to reduce it to 4 months. So hopefully that would encourage more consumers to be interested in applying to the Business Enterprise Program. So Blind Field Services, I'm going to just turn over to Peter Dawson, if you want to kind of give a brief overview of what's happening within your section.
Okay. I might rely on you for the numbers, so. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad I could make a cameo appearance here. I believe I was invited, although I didn't know it. And the only person I could email was Ed, because he's the only person I could think of, and I blamed him. I don't know if you're here. Yeah. So I realized I was on the agenda. I was in Sacramento yesterday, though, when I was supposed to be on the agenda. And by the way, I was having lunch with Tony Sauer yesterday. He wanted to make sure. Someone must have invited him. He said he's sorry he couldn't be here, but to give you his greetings. So greetings from Tony and the rest of the people up in Sacramento. And Elena probably has the numbers in front of her, which I don't have, and I know you want to save time for the town hall meeting, but I don't know if you touched on the VR mod, Elena, or anything. Briefly, you know, she probably told you we're getting all of our teams pretty much, they're almost all complete right now, which has been quite hectic over the last year, but energizing and a good thing. And we got all these new employment coordinators and service coordinators. I look at our organizational chart right now, and I got to admit, I don't even recognize a lot of these names, and it's a lot of changes. But it's also exciting, and you know, a lot of people ask us why can't we have more QRPs and all that. And I don't know if Elena touched on this or not. If we could, we would. It's not that we're not trying to have new positions if we couldn't have them, but we're limited because of our budget, of course. What's that? Okay. I'm about kissing it, but I'll try harder. So, you know, we would have more positions for counselors if we could, but we don't have the allocation and the money for it. So obviously at some point in the future, we would like to have that. So, but for now, getting these teams in place, it's been interesting, challenging, but good. They're almost all fully put together, almost. And I think Elena might have mentioned we're in the process of hiring the operations manager position. And then once we have that position filled, we'll almost be complete. So that's it for VR Mod. I don't want to take too much time because of the town hall 20 minutes that you want. But I'm here. I don't have a set script. I wanted to be here just to back up Elena and answer any questions that you might have for me. And thank you for inviting me, even though I didn't realize it. And so, Elena, anything else you want me to touch on or the rest of the crowd want me to touch on before we open it up to the town hall portion? Okay. I'll turn it back over to Elena.
Okay. I just kind of wanted to touch on two other programs, and then we'll open up for town hall. Q&A. Q&A, can you hear me?
Better.
Can you? Hello?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. All righty. Okay. I just kind of wanted to touch on the other two programs that we have within the division. That's the Orientation Center for the Blind. And right now, we serve a little over 50 consumers a year, and we're obviously doing more outreach to increase that number. And as a result of some RF funding that we received a few years ago, we really renovated the campus. We now have an office and computer training area with state-of-the-art AT equipment. We've converted four of our dorm rooms into studio apartments to enable the students to practice independent living skills before they exit the program. We've also established internships on campus for the students to give them some work experience and to practice their skills. We're taking a look into revising the curriculum to make it more focused on employment. And lastly, we did a recruitment for the OCB Trust Fund Committee, and we're going to be making decisions on appointments to that committee. And, of course, that will be done in conjunction with CCB, in consultation with CCB. Okay, Older Individuals Who Are Blind program. We submitted our annual OIB report to RSA. Again, it's posted on the website, so I encourage you to read it. There's a lot of good information. And I also want to thank any of the partners that are in this room that have contributed money to draw down the federal match. We couldn't do it without your support. We've also hired a new program manager, Chris Gith, to lead the OIB program. He replaced Jay Harris, who's blind, who accepted a promotion earlier this year to the independent living chief position within the Department of Rehabilitation. And right now, within the OIB program, we're kind of taking a look at our funding model with our OIB partners. The goal is to establish a funding model that will maximize services available within provided within available funding to equitably distribute funds that may go unused by individual agencies or any increases in federal funds received, and to readily adjust funding allocations to allow DOR to fund agencies proposing to provide services in unserved areas. So we hope to have a new RFP based on the new funding model.
Until then, all of the existing grants have been extended 1 year to allow for the finalization of the new funding model, and we're continuing to have a dialogue with the OIB partners on this project. Last but not least, the Blind Advisory Committee. I kind of wanted to acknowledge the BAC for their time to provide expert advice to the Department of Rehabilitation on service provision to blind and visually impaired individuals. And Donna Pomerantz and Jeff Tom are the CCB representatives on the committee, but we also have other members here in the audience who also serve on the BAC, I'm sure. I can't see who, Margie, I see your hand. Okay, Margie Donovan. So, you know, we would like to thank them for all that they do. And if you have any recommendations, suggestions for how we can improve services, you know, I encourage you to reach out to Donna, Jeff, Margie. They are your conduit to the Department of Rehabilitation. So thank you. So now we're going to open up for Q&A.
Okay, anyone who has any questions, please stand where you're at, and we'll get a microphone over to you. Okay, hold on 1 second. The mic isn't on. Not yet. We just need to, and I know we all can hear you in this room, but
that's all right.
There we go. We need to have you on mic for the streaming. Good.
Good afternoon, Peter and Elena. And Peter, I've got, I guess, a question and an interrelated comment. I was privileged last year, I think it was last year, time flies, to have sat on the interview panel that hired you. And normally I prefer asking this question to Joe because he's much more fun to pick on. But as part of the briefing for that interview last year, I believe that Joe indicated that the goal for the department's hiring was something like or placement of 800 blind and visually impaired persons, which, having done three previous stints on the Blind Advisory Committee, I thought was an outrageous number, outrageously high, that is. So my question for you, or my two questions for you, one, do we know what that reality turned out to be in terms of placements? And my second question is that we used to have a document when I sat on the BAC that it was the one report that I looked forward to reading, and I think we got it on a semi-annual basis. And that was a listing of every blind and visually impaired placement in the state. Names were not given, of course, but there were categories of positions and approximate salaries. And that allowed those of us sitting on the BAC to really know whether all of the time and the effort and the human resources and the fiscal resources that the department was putting into finding jobs for blind folks, whether that was being successful. And so I guess I'm asking, you know, do we have the placement figures? And is that document available? And does the BAC membership get it? And if they don't, they should.
That's a very good question, and it's kind of interesting that you brought that up, because I actually provided that report in the last BAC meeting,
yes.
And I think Donna is nodding her head, yes.
Yes.
And I was interested in looking at the report myself, because one of the things I wanted to make sure that there was a wide variety of occupations that our consumers are being placed, and it turns out that is actually the case. I just wanted to make sure that they weren't being pigeonholed to certain occupations, because we know there's a lot of people with talents, experience, expertise in many different areas. So if you're asking for statistics, I could give you, you know, I can't give you the exact numbers, but I'm just kind of rounding it off. Right now, Okay, the 800 and 1,000. What Joe was referring to was what can we do to achieve 800 competitive employment outcomes and $1,000 a week? That's the challenge that he's posed to his staff. As people ask Joe, what did you come up with 800? I said, I just took it out of thin air. It sounded good. 800 at 1,000. It's a goal, okay? But right now, personally, in terms of our competitive employment outcomes, I would say for last state fiscal year, we were around 370. Total outcomes, because that includes homemaker cases, with homemaker cases, it was about 800 and something. So you're looking at a 70-30% ratio there. 70% homemakers and 30% competitive employment outcomes. To me, that's not good enough. It needs to be better. And one of the challenges that we actually posed to the BFS staff and their SB 105 training is to start, you know, taking a look at employment when a consumer first walk in the door. Homemaker is certainly a goal, and for a number of our consumers, it may be appropriate. But for consumers who don't know what they want to do, if they became newly blind, or if they, you know, just don't believe they can work, or the family members don't believe they can work, it's our job. We know they can work. It's our job to empower them with that belief and start talking about employment the first day they walk in the door. So that is the challenge that we threw out to our BFS staff, and we're kind of taking a look, and maybe we need to change how we do business. There were some suggestions about maybe just having one counselor focus on homemaker cases within a unit, and all other counselors focus on working with consumers who are looking to achieve employment. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. We also have a number of employment coordinators that we've added to Blind Field Services. So we're going to be leveraging them to support our consumers to seek employment, be better prepared for employment. So does that answer your question, Mitchell? Did I get your name right?
It does, and those speakers don't surprise me. That sounds more like, okay. That sounds like
there we go. That sounds more realistic, but the other point as a follow-up to your commenting about homemaker, We are, and part of it has to do with the proposed legislation, but I think there's a real possibility nationally over the next several years. We've already begun to see RSA really devalue or de-emphasize homemaker placements. And while I understand that vocational rehabilitation's primary goal is to find jobs for folks, I think there's a real possibility that in the next 5 years the department will not provide programs and services and assistance to older blind people who have worked their 20, 30, 40 years and simply want to learn to be independent blind people.
Any other questions?
Yes. This is Charles Navarrete. In the LA Times earlier this week, there's a story about the Long Beach courthouse closing and a new courthouse being opened. And as a result of the building management not being just state but being a state private partnership, the vendor who had operated the cafeteria at the former courthouse for 20 years was not allowed to transfer to the new courthouse, and the new building managers contracted the food services with private firms, Subway and so forth. My question is, did DOR have the authority, either legislative or regulatory, to prevent that from happening? And if you did, why didn't you do that?
Okay. That's a very good question. We typically are not, you know, allowed to pursue legislation. We will rely on our partners and stakeholders to do that because, you know, essentially we report to the governor. The situation that you brought up was a very unique situation. It was a legislation that was passed specifically in that area. And I'm not, you know, and I have to be honest, I'm not 100% familiar with it. but I do know that the vendor has transitioned to a different location and is currently working there. Is that you?
It resulted in one less vending opportunity for the blind vendors. Mm-hmm. And if this continues, mm-hmm. that type of situation happens in the future, a private-state partnership will be losing opportunities for blind vendors.
I agree. And if there's, and if you know of any other legislation that's following a similar trend, we would appreciate hearing about that because we could certainly step in and kind of work behind the scenes to ensure that those who are in a position to make decisions are aware of the impact that would have on the Business Enterprises Program vendors.
Thank you.
This is Christy Crespin.
Christy, Peter, one second. Can I just want to respond to something Mitch said earlier, and I'll get right back to you. Sorry. Mitch, on your question, I also just wanted to point out, maybe Joe pulled the 800 out of the air. I don't know. But yeah, I think he did. But the number is more realistic. But I think there was obviously a dip for everybody during the recession and during the poor economy. But I do want to point out that I saw a report recently where 26s in the state as a whole over this last year were up over 1,000 from where they were last year, which was, I think, a big surprise to a lot of people. And out of all the districts, I think Blind Field Services had one of the top three percentage increases in amounts of 26s over the prior year. I also, the RSA standards and indicators that came out also indicated that we had I think 50% higher than the statewide average in the hourly rate per hour for the placements. So we're doing a better job. I know we need to do better still. And obviously we're going to work towards that goal. I don't know if we can ever get to 800, be nice. But I just wanted to add a little bit to that, and that's all.
And I just wanted to add to Peter's comments that in terms of the hourly wage earned by blind and visually impaired consumers who achieved a competitive employment outcome, it's about $19 an hour. And when you compare that with the rest of the department, the average is about $11. So we are looking at a higher wage for our blind and visually impaired consumers. And in terms of the percentage, 70-30, it used to be lower before we had specialized services division. But even then, there's still more that we need to do. More progress needs to be made.
Christy?
Okay. I do want to comment on Charles's comment or question. Department of State Hospitals, which used to be Department of Mental Health, and most likely California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation are also not using BEP at all. And every time I see us go through a new vendor, I just get so irritated, and I don't know why that hasn't been pursued. My question, again, is about counseling and therapy services. I really truly believe and will continue to advocate that clinical social workers be placed at the OCB and other independent living facilities, because part of being able to live independently is gaining the skills and gaining the ability to advocate for oneself. And I would really strongly urge consideration for you to have social workers at these facilities.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just actually writing that down. And it was kind of interesting that you brought that up because we were having a discussion at OCB whether or not we need to have an occupational therapist on staff. But you brought up another interesting point, so I did make note of that. B- because we're having more individuals with disabilities coming to OCB that, in addition to blindness, they have other issues. And those issues need to be equally addressed. You know, sometimes blindness, you know, may not be the most significant barrier. It's the other issues. So we do recognize that, and your suggestion is well taken. So I will make note of that. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
Christy, I just wanted to add on the BEP question I think you mentioned. That was part of the question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at the 50th anniversary event the other day at Department of Rehab up in Sacramento, where they brought in all types of people. There was a very interesting BEP vendor who spoke. I don't know, Jeff, if you're here, you'll know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I learned in that thing, when that guy came on board, it was an 82-year-old vendor. He's still working, apparently. And he got his first facility, I think, in 1963, but I think there were 320 stands, when he came on board, and now there are 110. And BEP is going through a lot of changes, and they're trying to make things a lot better, and he confirmed that himself. But I keep hearing that they are lacking, you know, good qualified people to fill, you know, the stands or the, you know, the positions that are potentially out there. So I'm not a BEP expert by any means, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And I don't know if you know qualified people, but it is a great opportunity. This is, you know, one of the key things. I'd love to see it go better. And just like at my facility, Christy, in Mission Valley, I mean, there's an open space there for a vendor to work right there. That building has 1,000 people, and I don't understand why there isn't one there. And so, you know, but I keep hearing that we don't have people to put into these positions. So obviously, if you know people that can go into this program and make a go of it, it's great. Despite what that, you know, some of the failures that man mentioned, there's also been some great successes, including people I heard who are making up to $44,000 a month in that program. So, you know, so there's a widespread and a lot of potential for people who have the drive and ability, but I think they're having a hard time finding the right people to get into that program. So I just want to make you aware of that, and if you know, and if you disagree with that, that's fine, or agree. I just wanted to let you know what I'm hearing up in Sacramento on that.
This will be our final question. Any hands or stand? Anyone stand? Nope.
We're that bad.
Margie.
Hi, this is Margaret Buckman Garcia from Merced. Okay. I would just like to, something you talked about with the Promise program. I work with the Center for the Blind and Low Vision in Merced, and I represent our organization and a local transition council at the school district level. And the reason I keep showing up at their meetings is everything with workability and all those programs that they have that are for high school kids and that level to try to get the disabled recognized by employers excludes blind and visually impaired kids. So I'd just like to make, I don't know what you can do and who's going to be on these committees and that, but I think something needs to be brought out that program needs to include other disabilities than just the cognitively disabled, because that's where the focus seems to be on those programs.
Come and see me after we're done with the town hall meeting, so give me the specifics, okay? And then we'll take a look into it.
Okay, would you wish to give any closing comments to our group?
I'll leave Elena the last word, but I just want to say I'm surprised you guys don't have any more questions. This is a very talkative group. I know that. So it must be the after lunch effect. Anyway, I encourage you all, you know, to feel free to either through the back or otherwise to even contact me with concerns. I don't want to think that you have to go through a hierarchy. So we want to address your issues and concerns. I wanted just you to know that after my first year, which has been kind of a wild year, I want to have more time to address some of these things that I just haven't had time to address and I'd like to address. So I just want you to know I'm open to that. And And once again, the BEP thing, I really encourage some of your consumers who might have an interest in it. It's such a great opportunity, I think, is so underutilized. I would strongly encourage you to do that. Along with, by the way, I don't know if you've been talking about federal employment during this week. I'm imagine you did. But my wife, for example, happens to be a recruiter trying to get people into federal work for a spa war in San Diego. They are really actively recruiting Schedule A in particular hires. And even though you hear about hiring freezes and everything else going on, they're still hiring. So just keep that in mind, because those are the kinds of jobs that we want people to get off Social Security and get those benefits and have a nice quality of life with the benefits. So last comments, and thank you for having me, and invite me early next time. Okay. Thanks.
Peter took the words out of my mouth, and he's a tough act to follow, too. So, again, I would just encourage you that if you have any questions or concerns, recommendations, or suggestions, you know, to reach out to the CCB representatives who are on the back. They are your conduit. And, of course, you know, you could contact Peter or myself. You know, we're always willing to accept phone calls, hear your concerns or issues. So lastly, I just kind of wanted to thank CCB for inviting us, the Department of Rehabilitation, to be here with you today. So thank you very much, and I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful convention.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and now we're going to play some musical chairs. Our next... I know. Linda says, I want to hear the song. Don't ask. Our guys are ready back there. You never know what song they'll play. I know.